Thank you so much for listening to the Adulting Hour. Please show your support with a monthly donation of only 99 cents. If you have something you want to talk about, please leave a message and I'll contact you. And maybe we can do it on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, I just want to welcome everybody to the Adulting Hour. This is where we talk about things that we wish you would have known coming up into adulthood. And the reason why I do this podcast is so that we can educate our youth on things that they wish they would have known that we have experienced. And today I have with me Dwayne King. Dwayne, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. Hey, Dwayne, so we were talking offline a little bit ago, and that was something you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, I wrote a children's book, and the name of the children's book is called Cameron Never Quits. And I wanted to talk about that because I think that's, the main thing that, people need to realize. I mean, once you never quit, you're winning half the battle.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I just wanted to talk about that and how that helped me get through a lot of adversity in my life.
So let's start from the beginning, Dwayne. First and foremost, that is a fantastic topic to talk about never quitting, because what people have to understand is when you want to accomplish something, if it's anything, just keep working at it and working at it and never quit. There will be some sort of an outcome from it. So what made you start writing the children's book?
I have a 5-year-old son and I have a 3-year-old daughter. And I just, once you have kids, you start thinking about your legacy and obviously they're your legacy, but you also start thinking about things that you want to be remembered by once you're no longer here, because at some point we all won't be here. So I just started thinking about and looking at the things in my life to see what, what people could remember me by other than, my pictures and memories. So I decided to put something in writing. And this is something that, hopefully will be passed down through generations.
Yeah, that's 100% true. The one thing that I do know is that if you put something in a book, it'll be on earth forever. I mean, regardless on where you are, you'll probably be able to find this book anywhere as well. And seeing that you said, Cameron never quits. So let's dig deep into Cameron never quits, or a person, me or you, or today's youth never quitting. Let's talk about
most times people quit. They quit things because one, they may not be good at it or think they're not good at it. Or two, they might get, tired or exhausted. And I think those are the main things. I think probably the main reason that people quit at things is because they feel that they're just not good enough. They're just not good enough at it. And me, for example, I was never, never the, the star athlete, I wasn't never the smartest person in the room. At least my grades didn't say that. but the one thing I had, working in my advantage is that I kept at it. I never felt like, I should just stop playing or stop doing something because I wasn't the best at it. I just, I showed up every day and, completed, all my tasks. Now I'm an attorney. I have my own law practice. And, it's just consistency of always showing up and always doing your best. And, regardless of how you're feeling. And I can't say that I haven't wanted to quit. And that's probably another reason why I wrote the book as well, because there have been times in my life where I've wanted to quit. But I just, something in me just said, no, you can't, you come too far to quit now. And, I kept going.
That's understood. And, it's a good thing that you didn't quit, because right now you wouldn't be an attorney right now as well. I see a lot of young generation where they will start something and then they'll move on to the next task and never even finish what they have started. And a lot of times it'll be a good thing, but they just say, hey, I'm done with this. I'm going to move on. And I think that one of the main reasons why you wrote the book is because you want people to understand that just continue at that task. Somebody will finally listen. Somebody will pick up, and it might even become even great. I listen to a lot of celebrities, and the first thing they say is always keep doing it. Don't stop. Dave Chappelle, when he came back, he did a stand-up special, and I think he was getting the Mark Twain Award. And during that, he said, I left comedy for a long time, and then I had to come back and restart it all over again. He said, what I have to tell for young comics or young people who want to start something, he said, when you start it, don't stop. Just keep going. Wake up every day and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And before you know it, you'll be the master of your craft. And I think when he said that, that was one of the most fantastic things I've heard out of anybody in years.
Yeah, and another thing is that you'll never regret not quitting. 20 years down the road, you remember something that was hard that you finished. You'll never regret not quitting, but 20 years down the road, I'm not saying it's highly likely, but it's very possible that you will regret that decision that you made to quit something, whatever it is.
That's so true. I have children too as well. I have several children as well. I have two in particular, actually several of them, but I have two who one who likes to do music, and she had gotten to a point where she had got discouraged, and she was like, I just don't want to do this anymore because no one's picking up and no one's listening. Well, one day she got an email from somebody from California and said, hey, I heard your song in California. Why don't you come down here and why don't we record something with you? And she went down there for the weekend and recorded. And she was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that that many people listened to me in this part of the country. And I said, see, that's just someone telling you not to quit. You get that's the universe saying, hey, continue to keep doing your craft because somebody is truly listening. And I think that is a great lesson for people to learn is continue. You never know who's listening.
Exactly.
I said this plenty of times. You never know who's listening and you never know who's watching. Just because they don't say, hey, I see you, or hey, I can hear you, does not mean that they're not listening. They just listen in a different way, which I think that's also fantastic too, as well.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
So Dwayne, how old are your children?
They are 5 and 3, almost. Well, my 5 years old, he'll be 6 in July, and then I have a recently turned 3-year-old.
Woo-hoo! I think that's a fantastic age to teach our right now to teach our babies about quitting, about never being a quitter and continue to be successful. And then also when they get older, so they can be instilled in them. I got a 12-year-old. And she plays the clarinet, and she loves playing the clarinet. She picked it up and she was playing with it. And then all of a sudden one day she was like, "Yeah, I think this is what I'm gonna do." And consistently every day, this is what she does. She plays. She comes home. She'll play the clarinet. She'll open up a music book and start reading music. And I'm like, "Girl, you are reading sheet music right now." She said, "Yeah, I love it." So we sat down and we listened to a to we went on YouTube, and one of the songs she was playing in school, I put it on, played it for her on YouTube, and she broke out her clarinet, and I just watched her play her clarinet along with the orchestra, counting in her head, counting time, and doing all these different things. And I remember when she first started, this girl couldn't hold a note on that thing. So now she made it as to where she's super, almost proficient with it because she never gave up. She never stopped. She found something she liked and she worked with it and she continued to do it, And when you wrote that book about never quitting, I think that was a really fantastic thing you could do, and you are already shaping the minds of the youth of today.
Yes, well, thanks so much, and I hope your listeners grab a copy of it. It's on Amazon. Camera Never Quits by Dwayne King. And just look at the reviews. You'll see that it's already had a great effect on all the kids that have read it.
That's fantastic. Hey, Dwayne, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back, okay? Welcome back to the Adulting Hour, where we talk about things you wish you would have known coming up into adulthood. Today, I'm talking to Dwayne O. King, Esquire, ESQ, baby. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, how's it going?
It's wonderful. Hey, Dwayne, you know what? I always start this by just getting into the meat of things by having my guests talk about, you know, what was really important to them. So let's talk about, because you were a person who never quit. Tell everybody what you do and what made you start, what brought you to doing it.
Okay, so I am a personal injury attorney and I have my own law practice. And I went to college at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And I went to law school at Howard University School of Law. And I'll say, you know, ever since I was, as far as I can remember, I was always very, very inquisitive. So inquisitive that my grandmother used to call me a quote unquote Philadelphia lawyer, because I used to ask her so many questions. And you know, that kind of stuck with me. You know, at a young age, a lot of times kids hear things, you know, about, you know, their proclivities, and a lot of times it ends up being what they say they want to be for a living. Because, you know, hey, if my grandmother thinks if I'm acting like a lawyer, maybe I want to be a lawyer one day.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's funny, that's a lawyer is the only thing I've ever said I wanted to be. I went to UNC Chapel Hill, and once I graduated from there, I, you know, didn't necessarily like the job prospects that I had. There weren't that many to choose from, let me tell you. And I said, I may as well go to law school and see, you know, what I can do with that. So once I graduated college, I think I took a semester off and taught at a residential high school. And then I went on.
How was that?
It was fun. It was fun, but it was the type of job where I could see myself getting too comfortable in it, because it was very, very laid back. It was, you know, you're living there with the students, and you're basically like, you know, slash teacher slash, you're called a student life instructor. So you would,
okay,
you know, tell them about, actually, I guess similar to what you're doing, you tell them about your experiences. We were a lot closer in age. I mean, I had just got out of college and they were in high school. So we were only a few years apart in age, but I still was able to impart, you know, some wisdom on them as they were, you know, entering their college years. So, like I said, I did that for a semester and then came up to Washington, D.C., Howard University School of Law.
H.U.?
Yeah. And, enjoyed my experience there. And once I graduated, I started working with a small law firm, and doing all different types of law. I was doing, you know, some family law, some landlord-tenant, criminal law, and also personal injury law. And, you know, for a lot of young lawyers, that's how a lot of young lawyers start out. They just, you know, do what's paying the bills.
It's correct.
And then they'll figure out, you know, their niche, and then go full speed ahead with their niche. And that's what I ended up doing. I like, you know, the personal injury, because it was, I think, better suited for my personality in terms of how the cases go. You know, they can get emotional, but it's a different kind of emotion. Like if I, you know, lose a case, nobody's going to jail. You know, if I lose a case, nobody is losing custody of their kids. It's a different kind of pressure. Not to say it's more or less, but it's just a different kind.
That's fair. But see, you're right though. If you lose a case, no one's going to jail and none of that's happening, right?
Correct.
But if you win a case, you say, "Hey, stop talking and cut the check."
That's right. That's my motto. That's my motto.
Stop talking and cut the check. That's what I'm talking about. So, as a personal injury attorney, what cases or what things do you see, and how can you help everyone that's listening?
Yeah, well, I focus on those who have been injured by the negligence of someone else. So when you think about that, it can cover a whole gambit of things, where you may be injured due to someone else's negligence. Mostly what we handle in this office is car accidents, and that's the easiest way to think about, someone else being negligent and injuring someone. So just think, you're riding in your car, you're at a stop sign, and then suddenly you get rear-ended from behind. And obviously that would mean that the person that hit you wasn't paying full time and attention to their driving, or else they wouldn't have hit you. So that's an example of someone's negligence being the cause of your injury. But it can happen in all kinds of other ways. For example, if you're living in an apartment complex and the property management company hasn't cleaned the ice off of the premises in a reasonable amount of time after a snow or ice, and you get injured because of that, that's also, a personal injury.
Okay.
So now go ahead.
Yeah, so what about if you driving down the road and the city has done a horrible job with fixing the potholes and I get a whiplash? Can I sue for personal injury?
It's not cut and dry, but you can. And depending on the jurisdiction that you're in, it's going to depend on how much notice the city had of that pothole. So I know, where I am, I'm licensed in DC, Maryland, and also New York. But it hinges on, notice that was given to the city of the that this particular pothole that you hurt yourself on, and the time that they had to correct it.
Okay, got
So
it.
that could be tough to prove, but it's not impossible. Yeah, not
Got
impossible.
it. It's understood. I just was asking because sometimes, those potholes, you can go on one and you'd be still in your state and your tire be way in China somewhere that those potholes be so deep.
Especially after it snows.
So, especially after it snows, we have a thing. Well, in a lot of our communities, we see a lot of people, a lot of unlicensed drivers. And can you talk about the effect, not even an unlicensed driver, but an uninsured drivers? Can you talk about the effect of an uninsured driver getting into an accident and what will happen to them and the reason why they need insurance?
Yeah, so an uninsured driver, first of all, as a driver, you should have what's called uninsured motorist protection. You should have that in your insurance policy. And what that will do is protect you from people that who are driving without insurance. And if they injure you, or even say they don't injure you, but they cause a lot of damage to your vehicle, your insurance will cover it under that provision of your policy, right? So first of all, it's mandatory in some states, but in all states it isn't mandatory. So you want to make sure when you're signing up to get insurance that you have that coverage, because there are, I'm sure a lot of people out here driving with no insurance at all.
Oh, absolutely. And they drive the fast.
They drive the fastest. And but as far as the ramifications on those people who are driving without insurance, so say for example, you're driving down the road and somebody without insurance hits you, causes you injury, whiplash, and also totals your vehicle, right? So if you have uninsured motorist protection in your policy will cover you for your damages to your vehicle as well as your injury. once they cover you for those damages, they will, your insurance company will then go after the person that hit you to be compensated for what they paid out on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they might think they might, you know, people that drive without insurance might think they're getting over by not having insurance. But if you cause an accident, you know, the last laugh will be on you, because, you know, the damages, I mean, just for a vehicle alone, as you know, can rack up pretty quickly. And then you add
absolutely
on, you add on injury on top of that. And then you add on, you know, rental car expenses and things like that. I mean, just a simple fender bender, you know, I mean, that could rack up, you know, $30,000 worth of expenses pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that's not even a made up number.
No,
you know, because when I know for a fact, when you get into an accident, you take your car to a body place, they're gonna say, oh, this is an insurance claim. You're gonna say yes. And they're gonna say, oh, well, this needs to be done, and that. Yeah. And, but this, those dollar amounts are gonna add up,
yeah,
you know. And then of course you're gonna have, they're gonna get their own personal injury attorney, which their personal injury attorney is gonna say, hey, well, you need to go and get, let's go and check you out and see if you have any other injuries, you know, like whiplash or back injuries or soft tissue injuries. And then you're gonna go do that, and they may have to send you to a chiropractor or something maybe out of line, you know. And you might be thinking, oh, it's a small fender bender. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, some of those smaller accidents, or those small accidents, could actually injure somebody, especially when they're not expecting it.
Yeah, exactly. And then as an uninsured driver, you know, most people, you know, period, don't have the means to just kick out $30,000, you know, just to pay it. So if they get that, you know, if they bring up a suit against you to reimburse them, the insurance company could bring a suit against you to reimburse them for what they paid out. You know, if you don't have it, they could get a judgment against you and garnish your wages, you know, attach any property that you might have. It's just not a good situation to be in. It's just not a good situation to be in at all.
That's actually true too. So Dwayne, so your business right now, you are a personal injury attorney. And let's say if someone wanted to get in contact with you, they wanted you to be their personal injury attorney, or you want to give them some advice on what to do, how would they get in contact with you, and what do they need to do?
Yeah, well, right now, like I said, I'm licensed in New York, DC, and Maryland. I have a Virginia bar application pending. So hopefully I'll be licensed in Virginia pretty soon. If they want to get in contact with me, they would go to my website. It's www.dkinglaw.com. And you can always call me and tell me about your case. In the event I can't represent you, I do have a network of attorneys across the nation that do personal injury that I could probably refer you to.
That's fantastic. And what about, like, do you also have a network of, like, other lawyers too that you can connect people with as well?
Exactly. I also run a network of attorneys. It's called the African American Attorney Network. This network is one that I've created because I saw the need for people to get legal representation, you know, when they needed it. And it just wasn't anything out there that addressed that. So now we have a network of attorneys, mostly Black attorneys, and, you know, from the that covers the whole gamut of representative needs that someone might have, you know, from personal injury to criminal to family to intellectual property to you know, trademarks, you know, what have you. We have the whole gambit of attorneys on the site, and that's www.aaattorneynetwork.com, where you can look up there and you can see, you know, it's a searchable database. You can see what you can put in your state, and you can see what attorneys are close to you and what types of law they practice.
That's fantastic, Dwayne. That's really fantastic. This is the Adulting Hour, by the way. We talk about things you wish you would have known coming up into adulthood. And today I'm speaking to Dwayne King Esquire. He's an attorney in D.C. And hey, Dwayne, let me ask you a question. Why is it important for people, for parents to talk to their children about accidents and auto insurance and all that good stuff?
Well, I think it's important for kids to know, because I think, you know, when kids are first getting their life, you know, when I was coming of age, 16, you could get your license at 16, and I know it's changed. It's 16 in some states, but I know it's gone up to 18 in some states as well. I don't think kids understand how much, you know, damage or what the possibilities are when you're driving a vehicle, and how much issues you can cause by driving a vehicle, you know, whether it be, you know, driving while impaired or driving distracted, you know, texting and driving. I mean, if you cause, you know, an injury or an accident, you know, and you're not properly insured, you know, it can be bad ramifications, not only for you as a child, but for your parents. So I think it's important for kids to know that. I would say, you know, I would probably show them the insurance policy before they even get their license. And probably even quiz them on it, as to what that policy covers, and what are the protections of the policy, and what the policy means, or what does it mean if we have a $50,000 policy limit? What does that mean? And I think, you know, once a kid understands that, they will take driving more seriously than they would otherwise.
And what people don't realize is, you may have gotten into an accident and you may have hit someone, so you pay the if you even if you do have insurance, right, and you pay your deductible and you know which pays for their car and all that great stuff, you're like, okay, I'm fine. Your insurance rate goes up, and it doesn't go up for one; it goes up for 3 years. So not only are you paying for that, not only are you paying the deductible, you also are, it's tech to me, I look at it as like a fine, a 3 year fine that won't go away until 3 years to the date that you got into that accident.
Your insurance will go up, and you know it's going to go up probably at some point anyway, depending on well, if you first of all, kids, they have very high insurance rates, especially young males. They have the highest insurance rates more than anyone else. So, you know, and, you know, any parent that's paying for their kids' insurance, they don't want it to go up from, you know, any higher than what it already is. So,
Oh, that's true.
So I think, you know, I think if a kid wants to keep their driving privileges and keep being insured, you know, just, you know, going through them with the insurance policy, how much you're paying per month to, you know, to insure them, or if they're paying it themselves, that's going to make them appreciate it even more. I know I always paid my insurance, so it made me always real cognizant of accidents and not doing the wrong thing, because that money was coming out of my pocket, so
That's right.
I didn't want it to be too high.
Accidents or even speeding. Speeding is another thing that people do and not even realize that, yep, I may have paid that $282 speeding ticket, but that $282 speeding ticket at that one time is that also your insurance company, I call it, like I said, an insurance fine where they tack on an additional amount per month for 3 years until that speeding ticket fall off
Correct.
your record.
Correct. That's right.
You know, so that speeding ticket costs a speeding ticket costs more than $200, and it's going to cost you about $3,000 to $4,000 in the course of 3 years, or an accident ticket is the same.
And it's, don't even talk about you know, driving while impaired. That's on a whole nother stratosphere.
You're absolutely right. I don't even want to touch on it too much. I just want to let people hear from a personal injury attorney. Not only is drinking and driving impaired, what else is driving? What else a person can do that they'll be driving impaired with?
Well, if you're driving under the influence, or driving while impaired, that covers the whole gambit. Not only, drinking and driving, but if you're, say you're high, or you're taking some other type of drug, that covers driving while impaired. And
that is 100% true.
And the ramifications of doing that on your license, that makes getting a little speeding ticket look like child play.
Yeah, it does. So, Dwayne, once again, tell people how they can get in touch with you.
My website is www.dkinglaw.com. Again, I'm licensed in the DMV area, and I practice personal injury, and people can inquire, on my website. And obviously, if I can't represent you, I can probably refer you to someone in your area.
That is fantastic. Hey, Dwayne, thank you so much for being on the Adulting Hour with me today. And if you guys like what you guys hear, you can always click on the like button, always like, because the more likes I get, the more people listen. And I think that the content that I'm giving out is fantastic, especially with the quality of guests that are on my show, which are some fantastic people too as well. You can also hit the sponsor button, 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. Guys, thank you so much. Dwayne, thank you.
Thank you for having me, sir.
No problem. Have a good day.